Hi, welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk Ugranek is bearing with you guys. It is an insane day. News is raining down on us. And Donald Trump just did a presser, so that is buckle up, brace for impact. You've got all the executives fleeing from his economic council. You've got conservative websites that apparently were promoting hit and runs, almost exactly what happened in Charlottesville. You have neo-Nazis and alt-right guys saying that the president is in fact with us. As you're about to see, there's a powerful case to be made. Just an amazing day of news. I will give you this piece of good news as we go through these stories. We most definitely have strike two on Donald Trump. So strike one was firing James Comey. This is strike two. And he don't have a lot of strikes left. So and if you didn't think he had the strike already, based on his reaction to Charlottesville and the economic council leaving, etc., well, I think that's very important. We'll explain the details of that in a second. Well, after this presser, strike. So, well, let's see. Let's see what happens. Yeah. So, Anna, you got it. Go ahead.
All right. Donald Trump decided to hold a press conference today, and the main topic of discussion had to do with his plans to improve business and infrastructure in the US. But of course, reporters also had questions in regard to his opinions on what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. And his off-the-cuff answers were a little devastating, to say the least. So first, let's get his response on why it took him so long to condemn the white nationalists and the individual who decided to mow down counter-protesters during this rally. Take a look.
Now, here's the thing, as to, excuse me, take it nice and easy. Here's the thing, when I make a statement, I like to be correct. I want the facts. This event just happened. In fact, a lot of the event didn't even happen yet as we were speaking. This event just happened. Before I make a statement, I need the facts. So I don't want to rush into a statement. So making the statement when I made it was excellent. In fact, the young woman who I hear is a fantastic young woman, and it was on NBC, her mother wrote me and said through, I guess, Twitter, social media, the nicest things, and I very much appreciated that. I hear she was a fine, really actually an incredible young woman, but her mother on Twitter thanked me for what I said. And honestly, if the press were not fake, and if it was honest, the press would have said what I said was very nice.
Okay, so the notion that Donald Trump waits until he gets all the details before he reacts to something is absolutely ridiculous. You guys know it, everyone knows it, even his supporters know it. There have been numerous instances in the last year alone where he has jumped the gun and decided to identify people as radical Islamic terrorists before any evidence proved that. So I'll give you specific examples. The Quebec mosque shooting, which happened obviously in Quebec, it was carried out by a white guy. It wasn't carried out by Muslims. And Sean Spicer, who at the time was the White House press secretary, an official spokesperson for the White House, made a statement about it during a press conference. And he used it as a way of supporting Donald Trump's Muslim travel ban. Don't believe me? Take a look at the clip.
The president got off the phone just a short time ago with Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau to discuss the vicious attack on a Quebec City mosque last night. This is another senseless act of violence that cannot be tolerated. We condemn this attack in the strongest possible terms. It's a terrible reminder of why we must remain vigilant and why the president is taking steps to be proactive rather than reactive when it comes to our nation's safety and security.
And the safety and security that he was referring to, again, was the Muslim ban that Trump was very supportive of and kept pushing for. Now, also in June of 2016, Trump claimed the gunman who killed dozens at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, shouted Allahu Akbar as he slaughtered club goers, though that was not confirmed at the time. In February, Trump jumped to describe an attacker at the Louvre Museum in Paris as a radical Islamic terrorist amid an open investigation into the attack before any terrorist organization claimed responsibility. Trump in June condemned a terrorist attack in Manila that authorities later announced was the work of a lone gunman. So he has a history of jumping the gun and basically making bold statements before he has any evidence. So the fact that he wanted to wait before he condemned white nationalists is ridiculous.
And so let's more context. So in the case of the Quebec Muslim violence, the mosque violence, they thought it was done by a Muslim. It turned out, as Anna pointed out, as an extreme right winger. But when they thought it was a Muslim, Sean Spicer said we have to be proactive, not reactive. But when it comes to white nationalists doing the violence, no. We don't even have to be reactive, not proactive, not reactive. We have to be 2 days later active, okay? Then we gotta wait 48 hours before we say anything. It doesn't matter, you're gonna see later in this press conference, he's gonna reverse himself and blame both sides again. But he said, I like to be correct. Well, you got a funny way of showing it. I mean, nobody's ever been this incorrect throughout a presidency. I don't know, forget a president. I've never seen anyone in public be proven wrong, lie with this frequency. I don't think anybody's ever seen it. And then he says, well, you know, like my timing, in fact, waiting 2 days before calling out white supremacists was excellent.
But that's what he thinks about everything he does. He takes a shit in the morning and he thinks it's excellent. Everything he does is excellent. He refuses to take responsibility for anything, even when he's wrong, even when he's proven wrong, refuses to take responsibility. It's incredible. And the fact that he held this press conference and continuously made excuses for the white supremacists, I mean, it just further reinforces what we already knew. That he doesn't care about what's going on with white supremacy. He wants to focus on one group and one group only, or I should say multiple groups that aren't white, whether it's Muslims, Mexicans, black people, doesn't matter. As long as it's not white nationalists, he wants to go ahead and criticize them. Anyway, so let's go to more of his press conference. During Donald Trump's press conference today, he was asked about violence by white supremacists in the country. And unfortunately, he decided to reiterate a point that he originally made after the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia. He basically said, look, I mean, the alt-left and violence on the left is also a problem, violence on both sides. Take a look.
Define alt-right to me. You define it. Go ahead.
Well, I'm saying, as
no,
Senator,
define it for me. Come on, let's go. Define
Senator
it
McCain defined them as the same group.
Okay, what about the alt-left that came charging at him? Excuse me. What about the alt-left that came charging at the, as you say, the alt-right? Do they have any semblance of guilt? Let me ask you this. What about the fact they came charging, that they came charging with clubs in their hand, swinging clubs? Do they have any problem? I think they do. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that was a horrible, horrible day. Wait a minute, I'm not finished. I'm not finished, fake news. That was a horrible day. I will tell you something. I watched those very closely, much more closely than you people watched it. And you have you had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent.
Look, I'm going to go further here. He's done. So it's only a matter of time, man. Look, this is insanity. Excusing neo-Nazi murder in America with, well, the other side is just as guilty. The other side got run over by cars. What do you mean the other side? So he's saying that the other protesters, he's saying equal guilt? That's insane. No, look, there's two different things here. There's the one is the facts of the matter, and then two is how it's going to be perceived. He's dead wrong on the facts of the matter. The one side rammed into the other side with a car, injured 19 people, and killed a young girl, okay? There is no equivalency there. This is a definition of a false equivalency. Both sides do it. No, both sides didn't do it. Number two is as to how he got to this conclusion. He watched a tape. I guarantee you this, okay, I'll grant you that this part is my guess based on the evidence that we've seen of how he operates in the White House. Steve Bannon was in there with him saying, hey, look at that. I found one or two guys in the crowd from the other side who weren't doing the right things. Let's call it even. Oh, let's make up a new term, alt left. It doesn't exist. That doesn't, you can say Antifa, that's a thing, right? There was, most of the people there were incredibly peaceful protesters who were against fascism, right? But no, let's make up a term called alt left, and then it'll seem like alt left, alt right, everything's just equal, right? So these are And it doesn't matter if it's Steve Bannon talking points. It's Donald Trump talking points.
He's the president. Exactly.
He's the president of the United States. Now, the second part of this is, how is this going to be perceived? Even worse than the facts. Because when you, every headline in America right now is Donald Trump blames both sides. And even people who voted for Donald Trump are going to think, really? The non-Nazis were equally culpable as the Nazis.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly. You give Trump's base way more credit than they deserve. Okay, I think during his campaign, when he said that he can shoot someone in New York and not face any consequences, people will still support him. I think he was right. I think he actually understands the pulse of his supporters. They don't care. They don't care. They love the spin. They buy into the spin. These are the same people who will turn around at radical Islamic terrorists who run people over and say, look at that, they're savages, right? But when people on the right do it, they somehow find excuses. By the way, I don't care about the demographic of who does it. I don't care if they're Muslim, I don't care if they're white, you don't run people over. And I don't care if the protesters are in the middle of the freaking highway, that doesn't give you the right to run people over and murder them, right? And so, and then if you ever have the audacity to talk about US foreign policy and, you know, our use of drones that end up killing innocent civilians abroad and how that leads to hostility, oh my God, how dare you mention that, right?
So let me agree on the last part, and then I'm gonna totally disagree on the first part. So could you imagine if after those horrific events in Europe where Muslim radicals ran over people in the streets in different European cities, a president came out and said, well, yeah, there was problems on both sides. What in the hell are you talking about? If they said, well, I mean, look, the British did get run over by Muslim radicals, and that's, I guess that's a terrible thing. I'll wait 2 days before I say that's a terrible thing by Muslim radicals. But you know, the British, I mean, did they have it coming? Did the Germans have it coming? Did the French have it coming? People would be justifiably horrified. And that's what he's doing here. Okay, so Anna, you're driving me to it. Trump is done, okay? So he's done, he's not gonna make it the 4 years. I'm calling it right now. We were leading up to it and there was, you know, this. I said from day one that if it went in the way that we thought it was and I outlined how that would go, he wouldn't make it, right? And it has gone exactly like that, maybe even worse. And now this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. Here's why. It's not that Anna's wrong, in my opinion, about some of his supporters. Yes, anywhere from a quarter of his supporters, and not the quarter of the country, a quarter of his supporters are absolutely hopeless. You will never, ever, ever break through them. In fact, they like it, okay? So, and if you're offended by that, I don't care at all, right? So. Because those people are, we see them with our own eyes, we see them online, we see them in the media, and constantly excusing white supremacy, etc. Okay, and a quarter of his supporters are already gone. Okay, mm-hmm. And half of his supporters—that's the most important part—that are kind of in the middle. They're low information voters. They don't want to see it. They want the winking. They want to say Black Lives Matter is bad. Mm-hmm. They want to say that the Muslims and the Mexicans are bad, but they don't want Nazis killing people in America. And this is Trump shooting someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue while wearing a swastika. So it's the moms in Kansas and Iowa don't want to be associated with Nazis. And this guy's clearly making excuse for Nazis. The guy who ran over the girl is a clear Nazi. At it when he went to a concentration camp as part of a school trip, he said this is where the magic happened. He was an avowed Nazi supporter and a fan of Adolf Hitler. So when you're supporting and making excuse for clear Nazis who murdered people in America, look, even for Trump supporters, not all of them, but a majority of them, that's just a bar too low. And you could say I'm overestimating them, but besides which, remember, on the day of the election, he only had 37% popularity. He doesn't have to lose that much. He doesn't have to lose all of his supporters. He doesn't have to even have to lose a majority of his supporters. He just has to lose enough supporters where he will be overwhelmed politically. When the indictment comes down, every Republican in the Senate and now a lot of them in the House will go, can't wait, Where's my impeachment gavel? This guy who's been yelling at us this whole time, bullying us, and now going around supporting neo-Nazis, where's my impeachment gavel? I'll hand you one, because this guy's done.
I hope you're right and I'm wrong. It's just that we have seen him say the most heinous things in public, in the most boastful fashion imaginable, and it seems like it riles up his base even further. But you might be right, who knows? We'll see how it goes. I do want to share one more portion of the press conference with you. Donald Trump got a lot of criticism after the violence broke out in Charlottesville, Virginia. And he originally said that, hey, there's violence on both sides. Later on, he finally released a statement 48 hours later condemning the white supremacists who carried out the acts of violence. However, now it seems like he's taking that statement back. In fact, he believes that there are members of the alt-right that are wonderful people.
Both sides, sir? You said there was hatred, there was violence on both sides.
Well, I do think there's blame, yes. I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides, I think there's blame on both sides. And I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either. And if you reported it accurately, you would say.
They showed up in Charlottesville to protest, and
you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. You had people in that group, excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
All right, I have a thought on this too. Na 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 na. This guy is so fucking done. So you're telling me that you're gonna tell the American people, those guys who showed up with Klan torches to support a Confederate statue, if it was just a Confederate statue, yes, that's your portion of Trump's base who's like, yeah, Confederacy's awesome, Southern heritage, whatever, right? And they don't wanna complete the thought, what was the Confederate heritage all about? I know that's a decent chunk of the American people. But then you had the guys with swastikas, you had the guys showing up with Klan outfits, you had the guys who were white nationalists, white supremacists. It was unite the right of all the loathsome things on the right. If that's Trump's version of the right wing, I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of right wingers in America who go, no, I didn't sign up for that. I'm not going to a Klan rally with torches. And he just put me in the same group. Is he saying that I'm part of that? No, 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 no. So look, I'm not as, he's way worse to the right wing than I am, which is amazing. Because I actually think that there's a decent chunk of the right wing that doesn't believe in that at all. But he thinks that's you guys. He thinks that rally was uniting the right. That, oh yeah, I mean, you got the Klan and the Nazis and you know, you got the good guys like the white nationalists. Where the hell were the good guys on that side? No, man, this guy's supporting Nazis. This is crazy. He's gone, man. This is not America. If I'm wrong about that and it turns out America is pre-World War II Germany, well, then we're all screwed. But I don't think so. I think we're a way, way better country than that. And even a majority of the right wingers who are gonna at some point raise their hand and go, I'm not part of the freaking Klan, man. I don't know what this guy's talking about.
All right, let's move on to something slightly different. 48 hours after violence broke out in Charlottesville, Virginia, Donald Trump finally made the decision to denounce white supremacy and the neo-Nazis who basically geared violence toward counter-protesters. And did the white nationalists, white supremacists, neo-Nazis believe anything he had to say when he denounced them? Not so much. Now first, after he gave a press conference today and he basically backtracked and said that there was violence on both sides again, David Duke tweeted and thanked the president. Thank you, President Trump, for your honesty and courage to tell the truth about Charlottesville and condemn the leftist terrorists in Black Lives Matter and Antifa. I mean, we all know who David Duke is, former Klan member. I mean, former Klan member. He's still a neo-Nazi.
Okay, so David Duke is not just a member, he's the president.
Yeah.
To quote an old commercial, he was the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. I had him on the show a little while back, not on the main show, but on DYT interviews. And it was one of the most painful interviews I've ever done. But if you don't believe Anna that he's a neo-Nazi and still deeply, deeply racist, anti-Semitic, go watch that interview. My God, I've never seen anyone who hates the Jews more than David Duke. If anybody so much as sneezes, he's like, it's the Jews. So now that guy, a former Grand Wizard, and in a lot of ways with the same exact thoughts he had when he was the Grand Wizard of the Klan. Go watch the interview, you'll agree with me. Okay, deeply, deeply, as deeply racist and anti-Semitic as you could possibly get. Going, bravo, Donald Trump, bravo. That's right, that's right. Just do an equivalency between the Nazis and the Klan and people on the left who say that black people should have civil rights. Okay, yes, bravo, all Nazis salute you, indeed.
Right. Well, another person who wasn't buying Donald Trump's denouncement of white supremacists was Richard Spencer. In fact, he released a statement about it. He said that Trump's statement today was more kumbaya nonsense. Only a dumb person would take those lines seriously.
So Duke actually saw the press conference. That's what he got so excited about. Richard Spencer tweeted before the press conference saying, oh, when Trump 2 days later denounced us, everybody knows that he doesn't mean it. That's why he waited the 2 days. Only an idiot would think that he actually meant that condemnation. And it turns out this is the first thing that Richard Spencer's ever been right about. Because right after Richard Spencer tweets that, Trump gets out there and goes, yeah, he was, that's right, I blame both sides. And the people who got run over have a semblance of guilt. That's what he said. Okay, the counter protesters have a semblance of guilt, and they were also violent. And he also said there's very good people on both sides. So now Richard Spencer and David Duke are high-fiving. Nazi and Klan, unite! We got the president on our side. This is not a Nazi country. It's not a country for the Klan. This guy's gonna be ridden out of office, tarred and feathered, as he should be. He should already be gone. And let me tell you another reason why he's gone. Because Donald Trump is not the guy who gracefully gets out of a problem. He's gonna double down, triple down, quadruple down. This is just the beginning. He will attack the people who were murdered, the person who was murdered, and the people who were harmed in that Charlottesville protest over and over and over again. Once he does it once, he does it 10 times. And he will support the guys that were part of that rally over and over and over again, because he can't help himself, because that's what he believes.
You know, another thing that he did over and over and over again during his campaign was ridicule a member of our military, Muslim member of our military, who lost his life in the line of duty. Okay, and then further ridiculed his family members over and over again. Keep in mind that the right wing is supposed to be the pro-military party, the party that wants to respect the troops, that you know wants to support the troops, but he did it over and over and over again, and they didn't care.
Anna, perfectly fine counterpoint, and it's gross and sickening, but they were Muslim, and so some much higher percentage of the country, not the majority, but a much higher percentage of the country thinks they're Muslim. Are they really American? But that girl who was killed in Charlottesville is Heather Heyer, 32 years old, from Virginia. They're not gonna think the same thing. Two cops were killed. I know it was an accident and not part of the protest, but they were monitoring the protest. Those are, you know, so it's a different equation. And he went after the Muslim family. In this case, it's a Nazi guy who killed that young girl, who injured those 19 people. So look, I think we're gonna find out. I think being a Nazi is a bridge too far if you're president of the United States. Oh, I hope to God I'm right about that. But if I'm not, then we're all in for a world of hurt. And you wanna talk about brace for impact. If these guys, white nationalists, take over, they call themselves white nationalists, the national socialists there. And they say, no, we're not white supremacists, we're white nationalists. Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Yeah, I love how offended they get when we don't use the terminology that they like. I don't care about offending you.
And by the way, one more thing here to add to this story. Richard Spencer also said, if you notice, the president in condemning the different groups never said the phrase white nationalist. He didn't condemn what we call ourselves.
Why don't you call them by their name? Why won't you call them by their name?
Because he is pro-terrorism as long as it's white national terrorism.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to show you how Trump defunded an organization that tried to counter white nationalism in the country.
And by the way, in a website, actually including Fox, and a very prominent host, maybe their number one host right now on Fox News, who taught the right wingers how to run over protesters on the left with their cars. Not kidding, we'll show you that story when we come back. Okay, back on the Young Turks, man, news is breaking all over us. All right, so I'm gonna get the breaking news in a little bit, or we are in a second too, as part of these tweets as well. But first, YouTube Super Chat, if you use it, we're more likely to read your comments and you help support the show. And KSHD Jack wrote in there, my dad flies the Confederate flag and we've argued about it several times. Thank you for the information you share. You've saved me from a life of hate.
Wow.
Wow. Oh, God, that's bless your heart,
pretty
man.
Pretty amazing.
It's so great to hear that. Fortex69 also on YouTube Super Chat says, the brown shirts aren't just here, they're openly serving in the White House. And unfortunately, that's also true. Larry Vetter says about Trump, jumped the gun. He pushed a fake story of Obama's birth certificate for 5 years with zero proof.
Good point. I wanted to bring that up and I totally forgot.
Yeah.
Good point.
He's like, no, I like to have all the facts before I get in there. My timing is excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Larry. In fact, Larry gets a t-shirt. Shoptyt.com for t-shirts. Matt Streckbein says, Trump said the alt-left came charging at, quote, us.
Oh my gosh.
That's super telling. I got to go back and check the tape. If you're right about that, Matt, because I'm not positive, and it is just a tweet, guys. Let me go back and double check that. If that's true, Matt, you're getting a t-shirt, maybe two.
Okay. Who else is that? I read that one. It's specifically maybe the first response from his immediate response was us, maybe they were charging at us, so both sides were at fault. It could have been that press conference.
All right, we'll double check to make sure that that's right. Lubza says, oh my God, did he just call it a very, very important statue? Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he loves the Confederate statues. And then this is the breaking news, and it's a tweet from Sean King that has it as well. JR was just telling me during the break about it also. Sean wrote, a woman who helped take down the statue in Durham was just arrested, but none of these men have been arrested. And he's got a picture of the men who beat DeAndre Harris. That's the story I told you about yesterday in the garage with the poles. They broke his teeth, and he had to get 8 staples in his head. And he said, none, America 2017. So that story is a little bit later in the program. We'll give you the full details of that. So the news is coming at 100 miles an hour. All right, speaking of which, this broke just a little bit before the show. So let me tell you about that. So a video has been discovered on the Daily Caller. They posted it. Now, they didn't do it after Charlottesville. They did it before Charlottesville, to be fair. So they were advocating for murder of protesters earlier, not after. I'm just being fair. And it's a compilation video that I'm going to show you in a second of people running over protesters. And this was in January of 2017. So Trump is going to take charge. And they're showing you basically a how-to manual for how to run over and kill protesters that would protest Trump. And just to be clear, in the article they explain that it is, quote, cars plowing through protesters. And it says, quote, study the technique, it may prove useful in the next 4 years. So let's stay right there. Now I want to bring in the video. This is a compilation they put together.
It's graphic, so.
Yeah, sorry, warning. So it's longer on their website, but it's basically celebrating if anybody's protesting Trump, this is what you do to them. So that is not only on the Daily Caller, it's also on Fox Nation. I'm sorry, not Daily Wire, Daily Caller, that's very important, okay? Daily Caller is run by Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, also top host on Fox News, also featured on Fox Nation. When I saw this article first on Mediaite, they still had not taken down the video or the article. Still to this day. And by the way, it's not that, hey, they forgot to take it down, that they forgot that they gave a how-to manual on murder people earlier. Mm-hmm. And oh, after Charlottesville, they should have enough sense to take it down. Remember, several Muslim radicals already did that same thing.
Tactic, yes.
In Europe, they did it over and over again, and the Daily Caller still left it up. Terrorists by another name. So they're like, oh, well, you know, we hate it when Muslim radicals do it, but when white supremacist radicals do it, we'll show them how. They literally showed them how. There's more quotes from the video. They said, if you're easily triggered, stop watching now. Triggered by what? Murder? And by the way, they didn't even let you do that. And then immediately they show more left-wing people being killed by cars and go, ha ha, too late in the video. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I want to remind you guys, remember, there was Republican legislators that tried to pass bills in the real world to run over protesters. I'm going to quote the Los Angeles Times for you from back in February of this bill. It was a bill proposed in North Dakota. The bill still in committee would make it, at the time was still in committee, would make it legal for drivers to run over protesters who are standing in a roadway, clearing drivers of any liability as long as their action was unintentional. So now that one was in the roadway, mm-hmm. and you had to have unintentionally murdered them, okay? But the guy who proposed the bill said, well, look, if they're standing in a roadway, they're pretty much terrorists. And he said, you should try to slow down first. Now, luckily, that did not pass North Dakota, but it was close.
It was. And look, I don't agree with people blocking the highways, blocking the roads. That is not the proper way to protest. And when I say proper, I mean you got to keep the roads clear for emergency vehicles. It could be a nightmare if you're blocking, okay? But with that said, for people who do happen to protest in a way that blocks the streets, there is no justification for running them over under any circumstance. And if you sit there and criticize the behavior of radical Islamic terrorists, which I completely understand you should, right? You can't turn around and make excuses for others who mow down individuals who are protesting in a way that you don't like. Murder is unacceptable in any and all circumstances, regardless of the demographic who's carrying out the murder. Okay? And that's the thing. This is what I have finally come to the conclusion with. We keep fighting fairly, right? We fight fair. We want to be accountable when we're wrong. We want to make sure that we represent both sides fairly. We don't want to lie. We don't want to throw around propaganda. We don't want to generalize about entire groups of people. And we keep having these discussions as if the other side is interested in having a fair debate about it. They're not interested in a fair debate. They're not interested in principled political positions or ideology. They're hateful, right? And so we keep trying to reason with them and negotiate with them, and I'm done negotiating, okay? They're bad people. They don't actually care about terrorism, because if they genuinely cared about terrorism, they would take, you know, the issue of white supremacy in America a little more seriously, but they don't. They don't.
So, let me add two quick things to that. One is now I understand why they made the insane charges that they did and why they keep saying it, because mm-hmm. for the millionth time in a row, it's projection. So they're like, oh, are you gonna call out Muslim radicals who run people over? Of course we are. Who the hell, what monster would be in favor of that? So I'm a guy who left Islam. They'd kill me first. Okay, I can't stand Muslim radicals. I hate Muslim radicals. I don't want them killing anybody. That's so obvious. But why would they even make that charge? Because in their mind, right. Look at the video they put up. They think, well, we wouldn't condemn it if it happened on our side. We'd even encourage it. So they must think like we do. It's great if it happens, quote unquote, on our side. And in their side, in their view of the world is Christians, whites, right wingers, whatever, that's us. Right or wrong, fundamentalists or not fundamentalists. Mm-hmm. And so you guys must think your side is black people, Latinos, Muslims, or whatever. No, our side is reasonable people, the people of America, the civilians, etc. Your side is fundamentalists.
Yeah, their side is, you know, they have the brains of cavemen, right? Like, all colored people, all Mexicans bad, all Muslims bad, all anyone who's not white bad, right? They're unable to differentiate between bad people in a community and good people in a community, okay? There are terrible white people and there are also great white people. There are terrible Muslims and great Muslims. There are terrible Armenians and great Armenians. Every community has terrible people in them, but they like black and white. They want every community to be portrayed as terrible, violent, savages. But when it comes to their people, right? When it comes to the white community, oh no, they're always right. They can literally run people over because they disagree with their political ideology, and that's okay. Murdering people with a different political view is okay.
Okay, so last piece of wonderful hypocrisy for the right wing. They claim the left is identity politics. They just did a march for white nationalists. Their whole movement is about white nationalism. That is by definition identity politics. Nope. We get to do identity politics, but if you guys say black people should have the same rights or gay people should have the same rights, not more rights, same rights, how dare you do identity politics? You want to have everybody equal. No, you're the one doing identity politics. And then freedom of speech, the number one issue they claim to have. Why won't people let people speak? Why won't the colleges let people speak? Oh, you're doing a counter protest of Nazis and fascists? Well, you had it coming. Where's your freedom of speech? Well, I thought you guys were big freedom of speech advocates. But when it's a protester you don't like, sorry. And by the way, if you're a so-called moderate right winger, let me flip the argument on you. You have a responsibility to call out the fundamentalists and radicals in your ranks. So if you're not out there writing blog posts, doing videos, doing everything you can to condemn those right wingers in Charlottesville, to condemn the white nationalists, to condemn the Daily Caller, to condemn Fox Nation, to condemn Tucker Carlson. If you're not calling them out, you're just as guilty as they are. That's your logic, not mine, okay? Live by your own logic. So if you're not doing it right now, you're guilty forever.
Anyway, fuck the Daily Caller. Never liked that publication, and now they've just proven it even more that they're literally one of the most deplorable publications out there.
I told you, the Daily, like people quote them as if they're trying to do news. They're not. They don't give a shit about the news.
Yeah.
They don't care about it at all. All they care about is how do I do propaganda that my incredibly rich right-wing donors gave me money to do. They couldn't earn a living if their life depended on it, okay? They're not taking investments and giving money back to people and running a real business. No, they take the money, they do the propaganda, they don't give anything back because the whole point is the propaganda. It's not to run a business. You take away the right-wing donors that are giving to them for charity, okay? None of them exist. They don't have enough people to exist, okay? Anyway.
All right, moving on to other news. Let's talk a little bit about policy. After the violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, it's been clear that there is an issue of white supremacy in the country, right-wing violence in the country. And unfortunately, it is not an issue that the Trump administration has any interest in tackling. In fact, there has been some evidence of that. Back in 2009, there was an organization known as Life After Hate that thankfully, the Obama administration funded later on in his presidency. He offered the organization $400,000 in order to help people who have been part of white nationalist movements get out of those movements safely. So the whole point is, you know, to find people who don't want to be part of these movements anymore and then safely get them out without fear of retaliation. Now, the Trump administration has decided to defund that organization. In June, the Trump administration dropped funding for one of the few organizations devoted to countering and de-radicalizing white extremists in the United States. Reuters reported in early February that the government was looking into shifting the counter-violent extremism program's focus, honing in on extremism connected to Muslim groups exclusively. The administration also froze $10 million in the CVE fund. Only a few months later, Life After Hate was dropped from the program's list of funded groups.
So CVE is trying to counter all radicals, whether they're right wingers, white nationalists, Muslims, whatever it might be, right? So even that program, they're like, whoa, let's hold on now. Do we really want to do that? But main reason they wanted to pause is not because they wanted to not go after Muslim radicals, of course they did, right? they wanted to weed out the programs that went after white supremacists. So Life After Hate was the only program funded under CVE that only focused on whites. There are other programs that focus on Muslims, that focus on other groups, but this program was specifically for white supremacists. It's a former neo-Nazi who founded it, who got out of the movement and wanted to help people get out of the movement. And then, unlike the previous tracking by the government, etc., they're not infiltrating anybody. They're not going into your mosque or your church. They're not going into your student groups. All this group does is, if you're looking to get out, we're going to help you get out.
Right.
Okay.
They offer support to people who no longer want to be part of a hate group.
And so, since they're the ones that were exclusively about white supremacists, they're like, that's easy. Your funding is gone.
Exactly.
Okay. And the founder of the group is just quoting facts and stats when he says, but wait a minute, white supremacists have done more terrorist attacks than Muslim radicals inside the United States. In fact, twice as many. Mm-hmm. So, this is going to lead to problems, and here we are.
That's right. And look, this is just one example of the right wing going out of its way to either defund or dismantle an organization that's trying to combat non-Muslim right wing extremism in the country, which we do have a problem with. Back in 2009, the Department of Homeland Security was bullied into dismantling a department that focused solely on right wing extremism in the country. And we're now feeling the ramifications of that, okay?
Yeah, so let's, by the way, I mean, in case we're not clear enough about it, or in this video, because we've said it over and over in other videos, Obama didn't do the right thing either.
Right.
He, as Anna pointed out, at the very end of his administration, he finally gave this group funding, etc. But earlier in his administration, because he was intimidated by Rush frickin' Limbaugh, he also deprioritized going after radical white supremacists who might do terrorism. It was a terrible mistake, and a Republican was running that group inside the Department of Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. And ever since Obama has done that, he's come out and gone, this is a terrible mistake. There are more white supremacists in the country than Muslim radicals. There are more terrorist attacks by those guys. We should be going after those guys. Don't worry about what Rush Limbaugh says or other Republicans say. Go, and we're not targeting the right wing. We're targeting right wing radicals.
That's right.
White supremacist, racist radicals.
That's right. And just to be clear, this is not to say, oh, we should shift all of our focus and all of our priorities on combating white supremacy. No, it means, hey, we have an issue with white supremacy. Let's also allocate some of our resources in combating that as well. And by the way, I have some stats on right wing non-Muslim terrorism in the country. I'll get to that in just a second. But I also want to note that after Trump's election, Life After Hate reportedly saw a 20-fold increase in calls for help from those reporting signs of radicalization in themselves or others. So obviously, there is a need for this organization. And again, they just lost their funding. Now, going back to the stats that I promised you, let's go to graphic 17A. So this past May, there was a report obtained by Foreign Policy, and members of both agencies, the CIA and the FBI, the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security, warned that white supremacists, quote, likely will continue to pose a threat of lethal violence over the next year. Entitled White Supremacist Extremism Poses Persistent Threat of Lethal Violence, the report concludes that white supremacists were responsible for 49 homicides in 26 attacks from 2000 to 2016, more than any other domestic extremist movement.
So they also canceled a $900,000 grant for the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill to counter jihadists. Wait, why would they do that? Because it was to counter jihadists and white supremacist recruiting. Even if you're going after jihadists, if you're also going after white supremacists, you're gonna lose your funding, gone. This is insanity, man. It's not just Donald Trump's press conferences, it's not just his tweets, it's not just that he has these monsters like Steve Bannon and Gorka, Sebastian Gorka, and his wife,
Catherine Gorka,
who believes insane things about how the Muslims are trying to take over the federal government. No, you know who took over the federal government? White supremacists. That's who took over the federal government. That's why you defunded anything that would fight against white supremacists. Even at the cost of going after jihadists as well.
Right.
So, by the way, Sebastian Gorka, just last week on TV, one of the top advisors to the president, said there's been no attacks in America, no terrorist attacks in America that you couldn't connect to ISIS or Al-Qaeda. That it's just so not true that they see. That's what we're talking about. They don't care about reality. We're trying to have a debate with guys who don't care about facts.
Right.
They just want to drive their agenda. Both the Gorkhas were well known in far right circles as deeply anti-Muslim. Not anti-Muslim radicals, we're all against Muslim radicals, just anti-Muslim. Mm-hmm. And so they go out there and they go, no, I don't see any right-wing terrorism. Even though the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security says there's twice as many attacks from that group. And by the way, that's not a great thing for Muslims overall, because there's a lot less Muslims in America than there are white people or right-wingers. So that's still a really bad proportion. We're not talking about that. We're talking about who's gonna kill us, who's gonna kill mm-hmm. Americans. As a raw number, it's far more likely to be white supremacists. So put some dollars behind that so they don't kill us. It's not that complicated. But no, they care about their agenda, and their agenda is about bigotry and hatred more than they care about protecting American lives. It's grotesque.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I will give you the details on how the Department of Justice is now targeting those who are part of the Resist campaign. They want your personal information. So come right back and I'll give you the info on that.
RDGP writes in, beyond excusing fascists, Trump today has proven beyond a doubt that he lacks moral courage and leadership skills to be president. True enough. YouTube super chat, masked Felix says, Cenk, you have to stop working out. It's too much. You're too strong. Agreed. Lightening the mood there a little bit. Thank you. Not remotely true though. I'm still a disaster. I'm a mess. I'm not winning with this body. I want to give you
10 seconds of it. I'm not sure if it was before, but our Twitter friend who said he said Trump said they came after us with the sticks and the bats. I didn't see it. Maybe in another speech. I don't know. I just didn't see it.
Okay, no, I just want to clarify because look, when we read tweets, they're just tweets from other folks.
Right.
When we report the story that we've double checked it, etc. All right. So and by the way, sorry, no t-shirt for you then. Okay. In fact, I'm going to minus a t-shirt. Give me a t-shirt. Just kidding. Okay. On the last story that we did about the Gorkhas and how Trump administration cut the funding for the CVE, that's the Countering Violent Extremism. Gorkha, the day after Trump won the election, said, I predict with absolute certitude the jettisoning of concepts such as CVE. They were white nationalists from day one. Right after the election, they said, we're not going after white supremacists ever again. They're sick people. And National Security Council spokesman Michael Anton wrote under a pseudonym, Islam is incompatible with the modern West. This guy's the spokesperson for the National Security Council. It's disgusting. Okay, so that's mild compared to what he said overall about race. He said, diversity is a source of weakness. Tension and disunion. These guys are open racists.
No, but here's the thing. You are a source of weakness. In fact, you demonstrate weakness, okay? Whining and crying like a little bitch about diversity.
Also black people? Now we have to give gay people the same rights. Boo hoo.
How insecure do you have to be? I mean, that's the thing that gets to me, right? How insecure do you have to be that you have to blame all of your problems on people who are different from you? And how scared are you of living life because you can't handle people that look different from you, who have different backgrounds compared to your background? It's amazing. Like, they don't understand how much they portray themselves as weak people.
Stephen Miller, a speechwriter for the president, maybe he wrote the press conference talking points today, said that black students are suffering from racial paranoia.
What does that even mean?
That means like, hey, if you think you're being arrested four times as much as white people for marijuana, which is a fact, no, you're just paranoid. You're just paranoid. There's no civil rights violations. There's nothing wrong. There's no racism in the country. And if you think there is, you have racial paranoia. These guys are scumbags. All right, anyway, let's do the next story. Speaking of which, they're gonna get your information.
They're gonna get your information.
Yeah.
All right. The Department of Justice is demanding personal information and identifying information on individuals who have frequented an anti-Trump website. Now, the company that hosts the URL for this website is DreamHost. They're located in Los Angeles, and they have spoken to the media and also released a blog post about this. And they're concerned that this could lead to unfair retaliation against people who simply don't like Trump. Now, DreamHost claimed that complying with the request from the Justice Department would amount to handing over roughly 1.3 million visitor IP addresses to the government, in addition to contact information, email content, and photos of thousands of visitors to the website. Now, to be more specific on the details that they're asking for, they have requested names, addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses, business information, length of service, meaning how long have they been going to this website. Also, the means and source of payment for services, including any credit card or bank account information, and also information about any domain name registration. So, look, keep in mind that the Trump administration was also going state by state, asking for detailed personal information on individuals and who they voted for. Okay, secretaries of state in some instances denied them access to that information. Now they're going after people who are visiting a resist website. And so this is crazy. This is insane.
Yeah, so there's a thousand things wrong with this. First of all, again, if you are an advocate of freedom of speech, whether you're on the left or the right, you hate this. These are people who are exercising their freedom of speech to protest the government. Now, right wingers have also done that. Can you imagine if under Obama, Obama's now, oh, you wanted to protest me? I want your name, address, phone number. I want your bank accounts. I want all of your private information of anyone who dared to protest me. What would they have said? They would have first lost their minds. Second, they would have thought that he was going to set up FEMA camps, etc. They would have been dead set against it, and they would have screamed freedom of speech. By the way, you would have been right about that. I don't want Obama, I don't want Trump, I don't want any Democrat, I don't want any Republican getting all the information of the people who protested them. That's the most un-American thing you could do. It's in the First Amendment. So if you're a right winger, I hope you're outraged by this story and you're breathing fire over it today.
Look, this is why what Edward Snowden did was so important. Informing us about what the NSA was doing when they were indiscriminately collecting metadata on us, right? It was important because it could be used as a form of intimidation against people who speak truth to power, who want to protest the government, right? If they're monitoring you and monitoring your activity and behavior online, I mean, they have leverage over you. And if who's to say that if a liberal president or a Democrat president does it, that it's not going to be utilized by a right-wing president, someone as dangerous as Trump. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible thing that happened under the Obama administration. And the reason why we criticized it was because it was wrong. But you don't hear people on the right criticizing what's going on with the Trump administration.
But this really should be something that unifies us as net neutrality does. And the right-wingers get that, hey, they could shut down our websites too. Mm-hmm. This is a really bad idea. We have to protect net neutrality because Obama's administration is attacking net neutrality. This is a similar issue because if you are worried about FEMA camps and how the left wants to control everything in your lives, etc. When Trump's out of office, if there's a left-wing president in your fantasies about how they're going to seize all of your guns and assets and all this stuff, nothing would help them more than this.
Exactly.
If you want to talk about a government seizure of all that you hold dear, this is how they would start, by getting all that information. So it should be a hell no from the right wing and a hell no from the left wing and a hell no from anyone in America who believes in America. By the way, the judge who gave this warrant, it was a horrible, horrible mistake. Because what the Justice Department claimed was, well, during inauguration, there was 200 people who we arrested. Now, we know they didn't all do the violence, but they were in the general vicinity. Remember right. The arrests that were based on, they called them proximity arrests. Really, in America, there's proximity arrests.
Some of which were journalists covering the protests and the riots.
Okay, so, but even so, because of the 200 people arrested, they didn't ask for a warrant of their names. They know their names, they arrested them. They said, no, give me a warrant for 1.3 million Americans. Anyone who went to this website to protest Donald Trump, mm-hmm. give me all of their information. Are you insane? A warrant is supposed to be specific, supposed to be very specific. And here you have every reason to be able to give a specific warrant. You have the 200 names. No, they didn't ask for the 200 names. They asked for the 1.3 million names because they want them for a different reason.
That's right.
Hell no. Thank God for this company, DreamHost, that's fighting against this. Every decent lawyer in America, the best lawyers in the world, should go and say, no, not on our watch. They should overturn this, and under no circumstances should they give this information.
Well, one of the lawyers working on this case and representing DreamHost said the following, and I want to leave you with his quote because I think it's right on the money. So Chris Gazarian is his name. He says the search warrant not only aims to identify the political dissidents of the current administration, but attempts to identify and understand what content each of these dissidents viewed on the website. So they want to know what these people are simply looking at and what they're planning on using that information for. I mean, I think we can guess.
Now we're talking about political dissidents in America. This is what we've come to. Okay, now, luckily our long national nightmare is nearly over, if you believe me, and I'm going to begin to show it to you. Okay. So, new polls out, including Gallup, one of the most respected polling organizations out. Trump is sinking and he's sinking fast. And this was done over the weekend, so the full impact of Trump not calling out Nazis for 2 days is not even in this poll. Some of it is because it was done, like I said, on Sunday, and Trump had still not called out the right wing, not the right wing overall, but the white supremacists, the Klan, the Nazis, etc. And then today in a press conference, he doubled down saying there's very good people on that side and both sides are to blame. Okay, so that's not even in this poll. And I told you he's going to the 20s, and it's for some groups, so he's already in the 20s. So this is an appetizer for things to come. But right now his approval rating down is down to 34%. It's the lowest it's ever been. Disapproval is at 61%. But 34% is an unmitigated disaster. If you don't, we've gotten used to Donald Trump being in the 30s. A president being in the 30s is terrible. That means he is deeply, grossly unpopular. The only reason he won is because he ran against the only other person who was more unpopular than him in American history of all presidential candidates since we've ever done polling. So you mistake, or I think a lot of people in the media mistake that for, so people must like Donald Trump. No, they don't. 34% means only 1/3 of the country, 2/3, is either slightly undecided or totally against him. So Trump's approval rating among Republicans is even slipping, 79%. Still ridiculously high.
Yeah.
But slipping. It used to be in the 90s. Now, most importantly, approval rating among independents. There he is in the 20s. 29%, and it's never going to get better. He's going to bottom out. He's going to go to mid 20s for the whole country. And for independents, he can go down to the low 20s, maybe even the teens. He's already in a world of trouble. Now, even among Republicans, for the ones that are holding, they're not holding that strongly. So percentage of Republicans who, this is a different poll by the way, now go to the USA Today. Percentage of Republicans who strongly approve, his approval rating in that poll is 83%. That's healthy among Republicans. But even in that poll, percentage of Republicans who strongly approve had dropped by double digits to 59% from 73% in February. You could still say, oh my God, Republicans, 59% of Republicans still strongly approve the president. But they're low information voters, and I'm going to show that to you because they asked them. The part that I love is not the polls, it's actually the focus group that they did in this case. But even the strong approval dropping, how can you strongly approve of this? Okay, so they asked Trump supporter Dwayne Gray, they talked to 25 Trump supporters. Now you want the bad news? Out of the 25 who voted for Trump, all 25 would still vote for Trump. Again, this was done before Charlottesville. So a little grain of salt on that, but still, okay. But they asked Dwayne Gray, did he meet your expectations? And he's like, I don't know. He says, I don't know what I expected. I just didn't want Hillary in there. Ding, 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 we have a winner. That's the whole election. That sentence right there was the entirety of the election. And people make it seem like, oh no, but people like Trump. They don't like Trump. Some do, obviously, I'm gonna give you some quotes here, but most people think, I didn't want the establishment, I hate the establishment. Hillary Clinton was the perfect example of the establishment. When you say that, people on TV cry because they love Hillary. But I'm not saying that the voters are, you idiots, she lost. She lost because of that. We didn't make her lose. The people didn't like her. They don't like you. That's what you don't want to hear. If you're on TV making a gazillion dollars, they don't like you. You're part of the establishment. So that's why they lie to you all day. Okay, Daniel Cohn, as to why he's very frustrated now. This is also a really bad sign, not for Trump, but the Republicans overall. He said, killing Obamacare was a key component of the Republican platform, and I believe all the Republican senators campaigned on that very issue. The inability to move forward is embarrassing and disgusting. So Trump has done so much damage to the Republican Party. He walked in there, now he's blaming Mitch McConnell for it. Now all his voters are angry. Because they're authoritarian, so they're like, we believe in the dear leader. The dear leader tells us it's not his incompetent ass, it's the Republicans in Congress. Now I hate the Republicans in Congress. Well, wait for the shellacking in 2018 and absolute crushing in 2020. Because no one could have undermined congressional leaders on the Republican side better than Trump has. So here's Joanne Musial. She says, everyone's having a hissy fit because a politician isn't president. She's still supporting Trump. Cut and dried, he's not a politician. And doesn't fit in your little clique here, so they're trying to cause a ruckus for him. So she's holding strong. Let's go to Barney Carter. He says, I was very disappointed in the way he ripped up Jeff Sessions, who was basically the first one to sign up. So that's now having an effect. They're like, look, man, Jeff Sessions, we know he's been on our side forever. Jeff Sessions ain't nobody's moderate. Forget liberal or progressive. He's maybe the most conservative senator he was on the Republican side. And if he's criticizing Jeff Sessions, these voters are going, wait, now this doesn't make sense. I know Jeff's my guy, mm-hmm. right? And these voters are all super conservative, right? But they're beginning to realize, hey, maybe this schmuck doesn't have a plan. Maybe he just lashes out at everybody because it's all about him. Maybe he's not really fighting for conservative causes. He's only fighting for Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's really weird because during his campaign, he was very detailed about his policy ideas and how he would achieve them. It's weird that he's not actually succeeding in any of that. Yeah.
And by the way, others that I'm not quoting here, but if you read the USA Today piece, you can see are also saying, wait, like we thought he was a, why isn't he managing his way out of this? Mm-hmm. The reason they're saying,
why isn't he making deals?
That's right.
He's a good deal maker, right?
He bragged about how he was going to make great deals, and he wrote the art of the deal, and he's a great business person. So they're not kind of beginning to shake their heads, going, "Wait, where are the deals? Right? Where are all these great things that he promised us?" So Dwayne Gray said, still supports him, still on his side. When they ask him about all the crazy and stupid things he says, Gray says, he comes out looking like a damn fool 60% of the time. That's a guy who still says he'd vote for him and against Hillary Clinton, okay? But he's like, but I know he looks like a damn fool more than half the time. But finally, we get to my favorite, Pat Joliffe. I've been telling you guys on the show all this time about a woman I was calling a Kansas mom, like an average voter. She's right wing, you know, she's God fearing Christian. She's always voted Republican and you know, you might not like her opinions on a lot of things, including LGBT rights.
But at least she's not a monster.
She's not a monster, okay? She's not a bad person. She doesn't go to KKK rallies. She's disgusted by that, etc., right? Well, we found her. She's not in Kansas. It turns out she's in Indiana, and her name is Pat Joliffe, and she's in this focus group. One of the things she says is, his words, once again, are some of his worst enemies. So Pat's beginning to realize this guy might be a dumbass, okay? So she says, by the way, about Sean Spicer, oh, he was a sweetheart. I'm telling you, this is the mom I was talking about. But about Scaramucci, he says, oh, I didn't like him. He was too crass. You see what I'm saying? She's a decent person. She just has some old ways of thinking. She's a conservative. But she looks at it and she thought, oh, I don't like Hillary, right? And Donald says he's on our side. And then she looks at Scaramucci. He's like, ooh, all that cursing, I don't like it.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall as she, assuming that she did read Ryan Lizza's New Yorker piece with his exchange with Scaramucci.
Oh, yeah.
Auto inflatio and all of that. Like,
oh,
I
no,
wish
she
I
doesn't
there.
Like that. Pat doesn't like that. And then she said about Trump, and this gets to the heart of it. He comes across as a bully, a tyrant, somebody who always has to have his way.
Ding, 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 ding.
We have a winner. I told you he was going to lose those Kansas moms, and he's right in the middle of losing them.
So I like the anecdotal stuff.
Nice little snide remark there.
But it's anecdotal.
Yeah, of course it is.
And also one other thing that I want to point out.
But the polls aren't.
The polls are not anecdotal. But keep in mind that polls rely on self-reporting. And I think one of the problems with the polls prior to the election taking place was that some people will not admit to pollsters, you know, what they really think about Trump. And so people claim that they weren't going to vote for him and then they ended up voting for him. And so I don't want to overestimate this poll.
But it's a series of polls and every poll has them dropping. So look guys, Anna's of course right. You can't take just a single anecdotes or a couple of anecdotes. And like Mitt Romney used to say, well, a lot of people come to my speeches, so I guess I'm gonna win. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. But the polling absolutely positively indicates he's dropping. And by the way, it's easy to say, oh, well, the poll said he wasn't gonna win. No, but there was a clear error in those. They were polling likely voters and he brought in people who were not likely voters. The same reason Bernie Sanders outperformed the polls in the primaries. So there is an actual explanation for that. And so the trajectory of the polls is absolutely clear. And I think that the anecdotes, look, maybe it's confirmation bias on my side, but they certainly confirm what I've been telling you for the last 6 months. I told you this was gonna happen. I told you these were the thoughts they were gonna have. Mm-hmm. And here they are, that's the thoughts they have. He hasn't even lost them yet. Despite all this, they would still vote against Hillary Clinton. And by the way, we were right about that. We told you they don't like the establishment. And so the only thing that Democrats can do to lose to a guy like this again is to make the same mistake. And to put up someone that is an establishment figure that they view to be as part of the elites. And then they go, well, I don't know what to expect from Trump. And he's a bully and a tyrant. And what he says doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But no way I'm voting for the elite. Now, Trump is of course also part of the elite. But that's the trick he used. And that's the only reason he won. And right now, even those voters are going, oh boy, I don't know what we're gonna do with this guy. Okay, all right, what's next?
All right. More CEOs who have been involved in Donald Trump's manufacturing council have decided to resign from that council following his refusal to denounce white supremacy in America. Later on, he did denounce white supremacy and then he took it back during a press conference that occurred today where he said, yeah, there's violence on both sides. Now, the first CEO to pull out of this council was the CEO of Merck & Co., CEO Ken Frazier. The only African American on the council was first to step down to, quote, take a stand against intolerance and extremism. The move drew an immediate rebuke from Trump, who claimed on Twitter that the pharmaceuticals chief would now have more time to lower ripoff drug prices. How about you, Trump? How about you do something about drug prices? You claimed you were gonna do something about it, but you haven't done anything at all. In fact, you've been working closely with pharmaceutical companies and giving them a pass. So it's your responsibility to do something in regard to policy to actually hone pharmaceutical companies in. Anyway, let me give you his exact tweet. He said, now that Ken Frazier and Merck Pharma has resigned from President's Manufacturing Council, he will have more time to lower ripoff drug prices.
In all caps. Look guys, this is super important. This is part of the Charlottesville story and part of the second strike against Donald Trump. This is monumental because once he loses those people in power, he's got very little left. And what did I tell you? He's too stupid to know what to do and what not to do. If you yell at a guy who just left the manufacturing council, who is the CEO of Merck, that's gonna send a message to all other business people, don't do business with Trump. Because if you do, if there's even a slight disagreement, he's gonna try to go after you. It is a monumentally bad idea if you're trying to get allies. But he's too stupid to know the difference. And so once he did that, just as I suspected, boom, out goes two more people. He criticized them and out goes the fourth. So Anna's gonna tell you about that.
All right, so the second CEO to resign was Kevin Plank. He is the CEO of Under Armour. He quit the group to focus my efforts on inspiring every person that they can do anything through the power of sport, which promotes unity, diversity, and inclusion. Nice little plug for your business, but
that's okay. He's the CEO. Kevin Plank previously had gotten criticism for supporting Trump too much.
Right.
And even he bailed out. But the reason they're bailing out is not necessarily because of Charlottesville, although that's really bad. That's the reason that Ken Frazier left in the first place. But the other guys are mainly leaving because of how Trump treated Ken Frazier. Because they got the memo that if you stay with this guy, he's going to knife you at some point. So they're like, no, no, this guy's a madman. We're out.
The CEO of Intel also pulled out. He resigned to, quote, call attention to the serious harm our divided political climate is causing to critical issues. I resigned because I want to make progress. While many in Washington seem more concerned with attacking anyone who disagrees with them, we should honor, not attack, those who have stood up for equality and other cherished American values.
So that's the most important quote, because that's the Intel CEO going, you're going to attack people who don't agree with you. So we were here to support you on this council. And then when Ken leaves, now you're viciously attacking him in public. No, that's not how we roll.
And he does it with lawmakers. He's doing it with CEOs who have decided to resign. I mean, that's his strategy. Anyone who disagrees with him will be bullied on social media. And he thinks that's a winning strategy. No, you're turning allies into enemies, which is great, right? For us, it's great.
It is. No, that's that. So I'm not saying that these CEOs are good guys in everything they do. This is the right decision to make, and I applaud them for making it. But what I'm not telling you that they're even doing it for the right reasons. What I'm telling you is, if you, the one thing that the powerful do not like is when the powerful are touched. So if it's higher drug prices and you have to pay it, not such a big problem, right? We invade a country and a bunch of people die over there, not such a big problem. You insulted my friend? No. We're not going to have that. Not only did you insult my friend, but that implies that you're going to come after me next. It's a terrible strategic mistake by Donald Trump. Thank God. That noise you hear is the noise of power leaving the building. And if you don't have that kind of power behind you and you're a Republican, what do you have? Not much. All you have left is those guys in Charlottesville. And you ain't going to win elections with that. He's in a world of trouble.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Brett Ehrlich joins us. He will be leading the second hour. And there is an excellent viral video featuring a man who refers to himself as a hillbilly. And you want to watch it. It's really good.
Redneck wedding when we return.
Yes.